I made the joke that it's ASMRON.
I mean, ASMR shit is redundant, but...
Ah.
I know, shots fired, right?
Redundant ASMR shit is my extremely quiet Led Zeppelin cover band.
made from the sounds of pipes and goo. Or ooze or slime or whatever the kids call it these days.
Heavy breathing.
It's just a series of different lengths of those cow tubes. The those things, but different lengths so that it makes different notes.
Right. Ah. And at different times.
Mm-hmm. 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 I remember when ASMR was just called mouth breathers.
Yeah, just like, now we're going to cut the onion.
Greetings, Apropos, and buckle up for the sex.
Lovely.
It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast
with your host,
Salsa,
James,
and Jax today.
That's not the name that usually goes there.
Yeah. No.
That means we have someone who's not Jenna here.
Yay! I mean, I'm sorry, Jenna.
I mean, looks like she Team chose Rockets not to black. Be here.
That's
so.
Fair, so... You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go.
Something.
Yes. Congratulolences.
Yep. I was doing tarot over the weekend, and there was a lot of, you're welcome, I'm sorry.
You're welcome.
Or, I'm sorry, you're welcome.
I'm sorry. That's like going down the greeting line after a wedding. You're welcome, I'm sorry. You're welcome, I'm sorry. You're welcome, I'm sorry. Or maybe that's only my family.
That's what I remember from our wedding.
Doing tarot over the weekend just sounds like you're into a new, like, drug of, what are those called? Like, the boutique-y drug?
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, man, I was doing tarot this weekend. Oh, man. I was seeing things that weren't there. Whoa.
One of my favorite
I was doing
Stephen
tarot
Wright
this weekend, and I saw my
joke,
future.
Yeah. But,
actually.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. This is a public service announcement. Do not try the blue tarot. It's bad.
Again.
Do not try the blue tarot. It's bad.
Do not cut the deck and then systematically do this, this, and this, and this in order to try the blue tarot.
Right.
Don't, you know, when I was in middle school, their paper wasps were happening where you roll up the piece of paper and then you'd use the rubber band to shoot it at someone. And my fucking middle school said, we would like to make sure that everybody understands that paper wasps are not allowed. Paper wasps are when you, and then they explained how to make a paper wasp over the loudspeaker. And I was just looking at it. Vaguely horrified.
Yeah. That's like those.
For
more information, please consult this YouTube video on the making and accurate firing of paper wasps.
That sounds kind of like those malicious compliance posts you see that are just like, you know, when you are protesting against the police. Putting sugar in the cop car's gas tank is something you should absolutely not do, because it will destroy their car. So you should not
do a scoop
or two of sugar in their gas tank. Mm-hmm. That is something you really should not do. Also, whatever you do, do not shove a potato into their exhaust.
The tailpipe,
do not do that. Like,
right.
It sounded like one of those.
Yeah. There was a whole episode of home movies that was like that, where they were trying to get kids to stop putting marbles up their nose. So he had a friend do a music video about not putting marbles up your nose, and everyone, like the teacher, was like, "I don't know why, but I feel compelled to do this." And like,
yeah. I mean, 20 years ago, I would be hanging out with my friends watching TV, and anti-smoking PSA would come on, and we would all immediately pull out our cigarettes.
Thanks for reminding us. Yeah.
You're right.
It would be just like, I suddenly feel like I smoke right now. Thank you. Know, and so, yeah. Yeah. What are we drinking, by the way?
We are about to be drinking Jaybird Wines Mint Mead.
Mint mead.
Say that five times fast.
Mint mead. Yeah, there was a moment.
It took a little while to get back on the tracks, but once we were there, it was fine.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's find out.
Yeah.
So, because the smell has been permeating this room. Like, I have been smelling mint since you cracked open that bottle.
Weird.
So, yeah, I know.
Ooh. It tastes like Christmas. A little bit to me.
It tastes like those the peppermint wheels, which are sometimes Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely like candy cane peppermint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it's got like a almost like a maple syrup.
A little bit.
Sweetness on top of that.
It almost tastes like white wine a little bit, too.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
It's got a white wine taste to it.
Like so, if you stirred a like Riesling a with a
put one of those little mints that are white with the red stripes on the edge.
Dinners. Yeah.
Yeah, put one of those in your mouth and suck on it for about 5 minutes and then take a sip of white wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's kind of what you got.
It's
here.
Kind of the flavor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unpleasant.
It's not bad. Mm. It's just a strange experience for having mead, because usually I'm used to like mead being mead.
Yes,
flavor.
this is unusual. I've never had it before, but I'm for it.
Yeah.
There is the possibility of serving some of their meads hot, which they let you sample there at the winery.
Oh.
And it's quite good. This is not one of the ones that they had hot, and they were in fact warning people not to like not do that. But they were saying like, okay, just try a sample of the mint mead and make choices, because I guess it's very divisive.
I can see this being a very divisive.
Well, and that's why we brought backup for me,
because just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's quite smooth and pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I. This is one of those flavors that could easily have gone the wrong way.
Yes. Easily. Yes.
But it is balanced well enough to.
Agreed.
Get through that.
I had a sip, and I'm still feeling the mint on my mouth, in my mouth. So I could definitely see this actually as more of a like summer drink with some. Even if you wanted to chill the glass or put a I might be strung up for this, but like put some ice cube in it or something like that.
I was thinking like whiskey stones or something.
Yeah, something, but like. Mm. Chilling it in the summer, especially with the way that it's the mint is sticking with me.
Somebody told me that with old beverages and things like that, when they wanted to serve them cold, they would put the bottles or jugs into the river to let the water cool them. I think it was Jenna that told me that. And you know, olden times.
To give backstory.
I mean, with James's stories, you have to give backstory. Yes, that's like
Salsa poured me some of his switchel, and he said, "Yeah, this is what people would bring to the river to cool,
and then
yeah." So the fact, let me explain the joke. The fact that James is saying Jenna said it.
Yeah,
you're welcome, Jenna.
Sure, it was a joke that was said off the air.
You also mentioned it last week on the air.
Jax wasn't here for that.
No.
But I was here for this one.
Right.
Jenna, you weren't here for it. I'm so sorry. The one time.
Good. So we're all caught up. All right.
Last time on This Joke, the shaggy dog was left.
You know, James, jokes are way better when you have to explain them.
I keep telling you that.
Yeah.
I keep telling you that.
Yeah.
No, I disagree completely.
The frog.
Yeah.
I think this is very much a Christmas, like sitting in front of a fire drink.
Yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
I feel like in summer it would be too. There is a heaviness. Yeah, it's dense.
Mm.
That's a good word for it. I feel like a summer drink, you want an effervescence.
Yeah.
Mm.
Where there's a sort of thick.
Like a tonic water or something like that. Because when you've got like a mojito or something like that, you've got that tonic water that is the effervescence. And this doesn't have that. This is too thick.
That's fair. No, I was just thinking it because of the mint that is still sticking with me after one sip. So,
Oh, definitely. And I think if this was a sparkling cider or a sparkling mead, then maybe.
Shit.
But as it is still, I feel like this is more of a Christmas sitting in front of a fire drink.
Fair enough.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Neat.
That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you been up to?
Yeah.
Went to a LAN party and then a wedding. Yep. The LAN party played a lot of games that I had not played before. Warhammer Darktide is rather good. It's Vermintide, but in space.
And it's Warhammer, but all of the minis are painted black.
Vermintide in space.
Yes. Well, it's a four-person survival against the environment zombie game, basically.
Space zombies?
Yes.
Yeah. Reavers?
Kind of.
They'll put fucking zombies anywhere.
They don't call them zombies. They're mutants, but they're... Come on.
I see.
They're fucking zombies. It's Left 4 Dead or Vermintide or countless other PvE.
Actually, they're called something completely obscure, and five other...
Don't say the Z word. Yeah.
Yeah, so five other companies use the same word, but the R's is different because...
Revenants, whatever the... Yeah. Right. So, but this is in the Warhammer 40K universe, so it takes place in space, and it's
3Ks is not enough.
40 of those. So the Event Horizon plus Left 4 Dead, but you can actually
Star Wars
spec up your you can spec up your classes and things like that. Like, they have different... Instead of Left 4 Dead, which everybody has the same base stats, and it's just how well you play and what you choose to do, in this, you are better at certain things with certain characters and certain builds.
So you can balance your team a bit better.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Which is nice. So we played a bit of that. We played some other, vaguely spooky games, and then Jackbox 10 just got released. So we played a shitload of that.
Play Jackbox again.
Jackbox 10, the standout games for me were a trivia game where you guess the year. The only thing you need to know is the year that something happened.
So history.
Timeline.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all on a timeline. And then there's a game where multiple people edit a text to make sure that the recipient will not respond. As much as possible, you're just trying to make it as fucked up as possible.
So being a white man.
I mean, yes. But in one message, so not that.
Have you been on dating sites? It takes one.
Yeah. That's fair. You up? Question mark. So
I'm sorry. Back up. You're supposed to write a text that nobody responds to.
Yes. The prompt is: this is a text message that the fake character received.
Oh, this was one prompt. This wasn't the game.
This is the game. That they and there are different styles. This person received a flirty message. They received a sales message that they didn't want. They received a message from their family that they didn't want.
So how do you win by just not responding? I don't understand.
No. You help to draft the response in the hopes of shutting down the conversation. But
it is very fun. This is like trying to explain Katamari to someone. Trust me on this.
Yeah, just sit down and fucking play it. Yeah.
Just sounds like all of my experiences on dating sites.
Yeah, I think you would. I think that if people did this on dating sites, that they would have a much better experience.
What on which side?
I think that if you did this back, that you would have so much fun.
If people played Jackbox games as a dating site.
That's a really
That would be way better than dating sites.
This sounds like the shenanigans people put telemarketers through.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what this sounds like.
Yeah. You get divided into two teams, and each team handles a different message. And then you choose favorite words and turns of phrase from the other team's message.
See, that's a dating site that I would play.
Yeah.
It is just like,
okay, so
play
you're trying
games.
To sabotage the other team's message?
No.
See, I think just play Jackbox with a bunch of suitors, and then you choose which one you like best with.
I feel like that'd be a good Jackbox game.
There's like a monster dating game.
Oh, yeah, Monster Seeking Monster.
Yeah, that's such a bad game.
It's not great.
We played it once, and we're like, never again.
Have you played Monster High
Monster Prom.
Monster Prom.
No, I've seen it played. It also looks terrible.
It's pretty fun as long as you do the voices.
Yeah, it's writing heavy. Mm-hmm. It's a very writing heavy. So if you get drunk and you're with your friends and you can still read, and you do the voices,
hit that fine line between sober and illiterate. Yep. So so there's that, and then. There were four other games, but those were kind of the standouts for me, those two. I had a fucking amazing time doing that, and we watched two movies for what ended up being somebody's first time seeing Lost Boys, the vampire flick from the late 80s.
I haven't seen that.
With Kiefer Sutherland.
Have you not?
Mm-mm.
That's a fantastic
movie. Might enjoy
There's
it.
A lot of movies that James has been showing me, like Tucker and Dale versus...
Well, that's also a fantastic movie.
Oh, Tremors.
Tremors.
Also a fantastic movie,
He's been showing me the best of the worst.
Yeah, we're working our way up. Yeah.
I liked those two. Those aren't even the best of the worst. No, he was like, Tremors is such a bad movie in such a great way. I'm like, no, I think this is like a decent movie, honestly. Yeah,
Tremors is an okay movie. When you start getting into Ice Pirates, that's when you've got... Not so bad
Ice
that it's
Pirates.
Good.
It's,
have you not? Okay. Ice Pirates is truly a terrible movie.
Is it the best
movie ever.
Is it on MST3K?
It's probably not.
Okay.
No, because
is it too good for that?
It's too many things.
It has a very young Ron Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
And a very
young caveman, Ron Perlman.
And a very young, what's her name? Morticia Gomez.
Not Angela Lansbury. That's not correct.
It's
Angela.
Angelica Houston. Angelica Houston. Houston. Like young and hot.
Oh, man.
Angelica Houston.
And it's called
Ice Pirates. And there's space herpes.
Angelica Houston is hot, no matter what. Truckers, I think, is a far worse movie than Ice Pirates.
Yep. Six String Samurai.
Oh, that one's wonderful.
Is such a good movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Ice Pirates is my go-to, like, so bad that it's good.
Okay. Mm. Does it know that it's bad? That's my question.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
It's usually a better...
It has space herpes. Yes, it does. it knows.
I think Ice Pirates and Space Truckers belong in, like, that's a double feature.
Yeah.
But
it's usually a better time if they know that this is a bad movie.
It's kind of got a, like... Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, feel.
I love that movie.
Oh, my God. It's a
where it's just like, we're just going to go insane on drugs.
Everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, so the producers were on coke. Everyone.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
We actually, the first several test we dusted them.
Coke was the least of it. Of what we were doing.
Yeah, that was the kiddie pool.
Yeah.
That was...
We dusted the audience, Jesus.
We gave one writer coke, one writer shrooms, and one writer LSD, and then we took the three and we put them together.
On a tilt-a-whirl.
Yep.
And then they barfed up this script.
It is
actually pretty literally, that does make a lot of sense when we put it that way. Yeah. For a long time, I thought it was like 3 or 4 different movies. I did not know that those were the same fucking movie.
It really does have tone shifts.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of terrible movies, we watched Godzilla 1998.
Oh my god.
Some friends of mine and I, we used to get together periodically and have a so bad it's good movie night.
Mm.
And we would rotate through these times of movies.
Sounds like a good time.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
We would watch things like Ice Pirates, and we would watch, like, Dragon Slayer. What was it? Like, Zombie Strippers?
Oh.
Where they strip the skin right off of them.
It's their bones.
It's amazing. It's like Black Sheep. The New Zealand sheep zombie horror movie.
What? No, Zombie Strippers is
Thanksgiving.
Simultaneously, yes, it's sexploitation, but it is also like juxtaposed with like philosophy. like there's one moment where like the head zombie stripper is reading Nietzsche, and she's like, this makes so much more sense now.
Right.
Like, it is that type of humor.
Mm. Excellent.
A lot of philosophical stuff thrown in with zombie strippers.
Mm. Yeah.
Right now, we're listening to Random Number Generator Horror Podcast number 9, where they're talking about Ready or Not, the, like, thriller horror...
Sure.
You get a box from the devil generations ago, and every time somebody gets married, you have to take a ticket from the box to say what game you play. You can play checkers, you can play chess, you can play death, hide or seek.
Yeah.
Hide or seek
where the entire family is hunting the new edition.
I've seen the
And somebody, it was, preview I think, for Jeffrey Craner might have said that it was a perfect, like, 3-movie pack with Parasite... and
Knives Out.
Yeah, yep. that would be like,
sounds like Cabin in the Woods amazing. Would also go in there, I think.
Ooh. Well, Cabin in the Woods would be great with Tucker and Dale.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not sure what the third movie in that pack would be.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, no. If, by the way, have a get together with your friends and have a it's good movie night with your friends.
Yes.
I want a list of these.
Yeah. Because genuinely, getting together with a bunch of friends and watching movies that are so shit but everybody loves, and then MST3K-ing those.
Lost Boys is definitely one of those movies.
It's so good.
Yes.
Yeah. Lost Boys is bad. That is not a good movie at all.
I love it, though. I love every minute of it.
Lost Boys Maximum Overdrive is another one.
The only problem is all these damn vampires.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
We're going to have to watch it.
Yes, clearly. Absolutely. So all of that. And then, that was Bear, great friend, former podcast co-host.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, shit, yes.
No, that's the third one.
That is the third one.
From Dusk to Dawn?
I mean...
No, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay. Yeah.
I was trying to make a joke and it didn't work. Continue.
No, it's. Are you familiar with that one?
No, not at all.
We could watch that one. It's got Selma Hayek in it.
It's a Tarantino movie.
Oh, cool.
Where a couple like hitmen go to Mexico because they're on the run.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they stop at this like biker bar, this biker strip bar.
Yeah.
To like
slash brothel
to like hide
where they
out.
Strip the bikes.
And everybody like all of the people that work there are vampires.
Oh, cool.
And so they have to survive the night.
Neat.
From dusk till dawn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And well, that's why I was figuring it was vampires.
It's got Selma Hayek and George Clooney in it.
And Cheech Marin and fucking everybody.
Is
Danny
it good?
Trejo. No, it's
fantastic.
Okay. It's not good, but it is great.
Okay.
Yes. So there's that.
Selma Hayek is a stripper who turns into a vampire. It's
right.
Like, it's what wonderful. More could you want?
I would put it
Dragons?
Up there with Dogma. If you remember watching Dogma, where Selma Hayek was also a stripper, but it was great.
She kind of has a theme.
Huh.
Look, if somebody knows what they're good at, then they do it.
And The Faculty was the other movie that we
watched.
Have
not seen that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You might really like it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. We watched a bunch of movies, we played a bunch of video games, and then we ate all the meat our bodies could carry. We stopped
was
by
it dried meat?
Brazilian steak house.
Not dried meat. Hopefully not.
Ate so much meat.
At that point, you want juicy meat.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, I always want dry meat.
I do love a dry meat. So, there was that.
Dry meat and cheese is my, like, my death row meal right there. Is just a charcuterie board.
I love charcuterie boards.
Just give me the dried meats and the cheeses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's what I did. Good.
Yes. James amuses himself very much.
So you don't say.
Well, someone's got to laugh.
It's not going to be the rest of us.
No.
Because most of the time we don't understand what the fuck you're saying.
Fair enough. It's tough but fair.
What
have you been doing?
What have I done this week? This has been not.
Are you pulling out your calendar?
Yes.
I have a short attention span. Let me see. No.
Do you want me to go next or?
No.
Okay.
What did I? I watch hockey. Hockey's back.
Yeah, it is.
That's what I did.
Beat 'em up sports. Yay! Yeah.
And my sweet spouse.
Yes.
What did you do?
Were you done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. I just wanted to check. I was selling my wares at the Hidden Minnesota Night Market. Yeah, exactly. They didn't have a tarot reader, so I was doing readings, and it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And I had two decks. I have my nice oracle deck that'll, like, sit you down with a cup of tea and say, let's talk. And then I have my macabre tarot deck that kicks down the door and punches your teeth in.
And then pours the tea directly into your face.
Right. Yeah. Just to rub it in. And, of course, most, if not all, people said, kick my teeth in. Like, literally looked at me and said, kick my teeth in. And so my cards would read them for filth. And then they'd be like, yeah. And I'd say, I'm sorry, you're welcome.
Yeah. That's the difference between getting advice from your parents who love you very much and just want the best for you, or from the aunt who's going to be real with you.
Yeah.
And is going to be like, look, you need to leave that guy and also get the fuck out of this state and just go see the world.
That's almost like the get rid of that guy has definitely happened before. It's definitely happened before where it's really fun when the friends are like hovering nearby, not in a bad way, but just like in a, you know, hanging out, looking at my stuff, you know, and they'll look at the card and the friends will start cackling because they know what the situation is. I don't necessarily know what they're going through in their life or anything. I'm just telling them what the cards say, and their friends start laughing and giving them like knowing looks, like, I told you. Mm-hmm. What did I say in the car? And so that's a lot of fun. I've been selling hair sticks. I've been doing little coffin dice rollers that say die for you.
Yeah, tiny cute coffins with little plush
pillows
inside.
Yeah, the little dice rollers. But yeah, it was a good weekend. It was bussin' this weekend.
If you send us a link to your Instagram, we can put that up for
you. Chaos and Quirk. And then next weekend I'll be doing the Hollow Whiskey at O'Shaughnessy Distillery, which is super cool. It's free to go, but it's like first come, first serve sort of thing because they have a capacity on the building. But I'm going to be reading tarot and selling some of my stuff. And then they have like different drinks and they've got like a band and different things like that. Like, it's super cool. It's their third one. So
nice.
Yeah.
And whiskey.
And just, besides my pots coming back from the dead, that's pretty much been it. Doing D&D for kids and stuff. Cool. Oh my god.
It's D&D.
God help us all. Mainly Lolth at this point, but you know.
All right. Should we take a break?
I mean, I guess.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Am I close enough to the mic here, or should I get closer?
You could be closer.
Okay.
Salsa can't hear you, but I can.
What?
Huh?
Huh?
Yep.
Hockey.
And we're back.
God damn it.
I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jax.
Yes, yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
What is up? You tell us.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been on the podcast.
It's been a while.
Been a while.
Since I've been
here
on a podcast.
Actually, I've been on Fanimated more than I've... Anyway.
Then your own podcast, James.
Yeah.
How dare you?
What the fuck?
Serious.
Husband?
Look, I want them to keep loving me, and they can't do that and listen to this podcast.
This is
Nobody
true.
Nobody said anything about listening to it.
Yeah, Salsa's on this podcast, and he doesn't listen to it while we're recording.
Thankfully, neither does my wife.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I was a teacher for 9 years, mm-hmm. and then I stopped this last year.
I detect a past tense.
Okay, let me tell you. This last year, I was the specialist teacher for my entire school. It was mm-hmm. a small school, I'll bet, but like...
Yeah.
I was technology, music, PE, theater, and what did I miss? Visual arts. Mm-hmm. By the end, I did lunch and recess, and I did before care. And I couldn't get my principal to give one of our kids like boundaries and consistency,
yeah.
despite his diagnosis. And so I got on her bad side. Mm-hmm. And now we're done. Yep. And so I've been trying to pick up more of like... my small business stuff. I sell my art with Chaos and Quirk, and then mm-hmm. the Fire Nation attacked, and I got COVID. The thing that I was worried happened, and my POTS came back.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody who doesn't know what POTS is, posterior orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, it's an autonomic nervous system thing that makes you go, ugh.
And not just at my jokes.
Yeah, it's more, it's twice as much now at home. It's amazing.
It is.
So blood pressure, when you stand up, blood pressure goes down, heart rate goes up, but also there's like brain fog, there's like extreme fatigue, there's just a whole lot of fun stuff.
Mm.
And I had this when I was like 14. I had it when I was 13 and when I should have been in high school, missed it because of POTS. So I got 14 years of like normalcy, but got it again. But I'm going to tell you, I found a male doctor who listened to me. A gasp now.
I'm sorry, what?
Just gasp. Yeah.
Gasp.
Oh, James told me to gasp.
God damn it.
For those of you who are not here, I am flicking off Salsa. How often do I flick people off, James?
Not enough.
Not enough is the answer.
Yeah, that seems right.
No, I found a doctor who listened to me as an AFAB person. Went to a cardiologist, and I was like, hey, doc, I have POTS again. I used to have it. And I fully expected the thing that most people get, which is, oh, really? Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Like, let's do a battery of tests.
Yeah. Have you tried...
sucking
not?
It up, right?
Have you tried going outside?
Have you tried taking a walk? Which is literally the problem. doing some exercise. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to start trying to do exercises, but I have to sit down for them, so. Mm-hmm. I was like, so a tilt table test is usually how you diagnose POTS.
Right.
It's where they strap you to a Frankenstein monster table.
Say it slower.
They strap you to a Frankenstein monster table.
Hard.
And then they ruthlessly make it go up and hang you there until you pass out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, except I can't
Jenna
walk.
Jenna had a date like that once.
It's true. She doesn't know why she just, like, gave someone the fucking side eye. Somewhere Jenna just gave someone the fucking side eye.
All my dates are like that now. I try to sit up, and then I pass, you know, I don't pass out, thankfully. I don't have that part.
Nicely done. All right. All the blood somewhere else in your body.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, all right.
I had a friend, this was
You had years. A friend like this once?
Quite literally. This was years ago.
Friend had a date like this, Jenna?
This was years ago when I used to hang out with people and... we were at a bar, and one of our friends was hitting on this woman.
God.
And another one of my friends, just to be a dick, wandered over, and the guy was like, yeah, you know, we're gonna have a good time. And he walks over and he leans on the table and goes, I'll make you pass out. And she just like, go on.
the Zaphod people, bro. It's like, hey, is this guy boring you? I'm from another planet, right? Fuck.
Did it work?
I'm
to varying degrees.
I love the complexity of this answer that you can't give right now.
Yeah.
It was...
If we italicize the word
work.
And parenthetically include a definition, then yes, flawlessly.
There are footnotes. Mm.
It accomplished exactly what he wanted it to.
Narrator, which was it to did not.
Fuck over his friend, which it did.
Oh, but did he get fucked over is my question.
I don't know.
Maybe not by that person.
But. Yeah. yep. So imagine that, but it's awful and it's all the time. And you don't get to... Mm-hmm. There's no safe
high
word.
Five.
But there's no safe word. It's not consensual.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Does that make more sense?
Now
if it's not consensual.
Yeah,
okay. Right. So.
I'm a guy, so everything's consensual.
You know what's sad?
No, for me. That's not me like saying everybody is giving me consent. I'm saying I just give blanket consent.
For varying definitions of work.
Look,
as long as we put
I'm
it
a
in
slut, I admit
and
I'm open for a lot.
You know
of
what?
Shit.
If you want to trade autonomic nervous systems, I'm game.
Yeah. I just like to fuck.
What if I told you having this lowers the amount that you can fuck?
Oh, then never mind.
There we go. We're starting to get
it
now.
What are you talking about? I was talking about fucking.
I was talking about, like,
Salsa, who is played by a 15-year-old for this film.
I'm sorry, what were you talking? I wasn't listening.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Like, actually?
Don't tell me that joke wasn't brilliantly put down. Don't tell me that that was not flawlessly
I won't tell you anything because we're no longer on speaking terms. That's
I'm sorry, the setup on that was perfect.
Perfect italicized.
I was going to say, define
by a,
big asterisk. Big asterisk.
Italicized asterisk.
Big asterisk. However, the setup on that was perfect.
The footnote takes up more space on the page than the sentence.
The footnote actually leads to a place in the appendix.
Most of the things I say are that way.
Yeah.
It's got a solution like fucking Encyclopedia Brown. You have to flip... or a choose your own adventure where you gotta flip to page 89 to find out if the giant squid killed you.
Yeah, except it's usually 69, but it's 68 since he can't quite get there.
Although you won.
No, did you actually miss what I was talking about?
No, I know exactly what you're talking
about. I don't know. Look, you're so convincing.
Thank you! It's called acting, James.
I'll look it up sometime.
Yeah, but the acting that Salsa does has that giant footnote. I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, with an asterisk.
And a sword through
it. Has a footnote.
It just has a
You're both looking at me like I'm supposed to say absolutely fucking anything to either of you about this entire catastrophe.
Go on.
Please.
This fucking train wreck that you've thrown cars. Uh-huh. This is like...
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
This is like Blues Brothers 2000,
Go on.
Which technically has a higher number of crashes than uh-huh. the original Blues Brothers,
yeah.
but is a worse film.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Go on.
Can you expound on that?
So anyway, Jax has pots. And if you don't know what to cook,
well,
put in some,
we're going
some
to
onions salt. And garlic.
We're going
and...
to pan over two pots here.
Yes.
No.
Sound. Oh,
oh salsa.
That's
went
the first
for
thing
it,
you've
then...
done that actually hurt my feelings, salsa.
Really?
You salsa
son
went
of a
for a
bitch.
High five and then
you've
took
been
it away.
Tra- like in like mid high five.
I trample you all the time.
He said, yeah. actually hurts.
Good lord. Yeah.
So the rest he likes.
I gotta try better. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
Yeah.
Bash in my brain and make me scream with pain.
But yeah, so went to the doctor
Sin
and I was like,
to the masochist. No,
I've had this shit before, and I've had the tilt table test, mm-hmm. which is actually quite awful. Like, some people pass out at like 3 minutes if they have POTS. It took me 7 to 8 before I started when I was younger to have like. I started blacking out, tunnel visioning,
sure.
and I was crying at that point. So mm-hmm. Just because, you know, standing up straight is agony now. So,
yeah.
yay! But I went to the doctor and I was like, hey, cardiologist dude, do we have to do a tilt table test? Can't you just duct tape me to the wall until I pass out or tap out? Because it's effectively the same thing.
You sure
same
this isn't
is
a sex thing?
Well, the you know the Frankenstein table, I'm sure has I would never want
Some
to
people
use
are into that sort of thing.
I would never want to use a black light on. If you've seen enough porn, I would never know.
Nobody's ever seen just, enough.
Right. I
had the internet
questions.
Is for porn.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
anyway, so it sucks. But I was like, do I really have to? And
right.
he was like. No, because A, you've had it before and you know what it is. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I have somebody who believes me.
Sure.
B, they are only doing one a week and it's booked out to like 2025 or something.
Mm.
And I was like, there.
Why?
Because POTS is so back in my day
when
I'm older than Google, you whippersnappers. I say that to my kids and they're shocked. But back in my day, so it was around the time that it was actually discovered. I somehow in Little Manassas, Virginia, got one of the head researchers as my like children's heart doctor.
Hmm.
And he was one of the head researchers for POTS. Shocking.
But why only one a week?
They're extensive. And there's only one place that will do them now.
Okay.
Apparently.
So it's not just this inversion table thing. It is like a whole battery of
them.
There
it's
is
the
a whole
inversion
battery,
table thing. And you have to be hooked up. And it takes time. And
the
cardiologist also, when I asked like why, he was like,
therein lies the tale.
Only,
okay.
I think there's only one functional one, like
gotcha.
Within network or something.
Okay.
And the thing is back when
so
I,
just the amount of prep work that needs to go into
yeah,
it. There's only
and,
one person that does it.
And he also said, like, if you take any person with normal blood pressure and, like, do enough shit to them, their blood pressure is going to be weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
it's not actually, like, a really great test. It's a really good one for people who don't believe you about your POTS.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because we, with POTS, know that if we stand up for 2 minutes without moving, it sucks. It feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
But 80 to 85% of people with POTS are AFAB. Assigned female at birth. So with that comes the all of the non-belief of the medical community,
sure.
which is also partially why it took so long for it to get into the main, like the main stuff.
Yeah.
So if it looks like a horse and it sounds like a horse, it's not a zebra. Fuck you. But so back when in my day, it took people any. I was lucky that it took 8 months to diagnose me. A lot of the other people that I knew with POTS, it took like 3 to 4 years.
Good lord.
Yes. And with that comes all the brain fog, all of the, like, I've talked to somebody recently who told me that, like, they were trying to bowl through it and they started, like, throwing up and unable to eat because of the stress that you're putting on your body. And it's in charge of all the automatic systems of your body. And so if you're not listening to it and you're putting stress on your autonomic nervous system condition, that's autonomic nervous system, that's everything.
It'll just go, we're not doing this.
You don't work anymore. Yep. Your body? No, just like a little ragdoll.
Fuck you.
But since COVID, POTS is now better known because it is a long COVID symptom. Oh. It's something you can get from COVID.
Right.
And I learned that 2 years ago and had like a whole spiral because I was like, I don't want POTS again.
Yeah, shit. Anything but that.
It was awful. And then I got COVID. And it was just the POTS that it hit me. The POTS hit me a week before COVID hit me.
Oh, no.
And so it's back in full swing, but many more people know about it now because it's something that people typically get from, or not typically, but more so now get from COVID.
Yeah.
And long COVID
Far
stuff.
Far more common, yeah.
Yeah. And so now, like, I went to this cardiologist and he's like, what did you do for it when you were a kid? What are you doing for it now? And I was like, I eat salt. I'm drinking lots of water. I'm trying to lay down when I need to. I want to get to the gym so that I can do some exercises. And he's like, great. And I was like, hey, doc, has anything changed in the last 14 years? And he's like, no. maybe, like, put a wedge under your bed, but that's about it.
Sure.
When I looked at the health partner's, printout, and it's like, what is POTS? Where does it come from? How do you get it? It basically said IDK, LOL.
Fuck if we know. What can you do about it?
That's a lot of words to say. Shrug.
Yeah. Right. And so, like, the cardiologist was actually like, honestly, it's kind of a relief for me that I don't have to break it to you that I don't have a magic pill.
Yeah.
And that you're just kind of stuck with it until you're not. Or forever.
Good luck.
Whether that's it fades, or it's a flare and then it flares, it calms down, or you die. Those are your options. Yeah.
call me and let me know which one you have.
Right. Well, and he was like, the good news is it might be one that is basically POTS, but it's from COVID. So I'm like, does it change anything which one it is? He's like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, great. So there's a possibility that it'll calm down faster than it did when I was a kid.
It basically goes away or it doesn't.
Sure.
Yeah. And so,
right.
The only thing we know is that things are uncertain.
Yep. Pretty much. Make sure you eat salt. And that's, and water. And
I know.
That's the whole
dried
thing.
Dried meats.
And so, I was diagnosed with that and, anyway, I have it now. And so I've been doing more of, like, shorter stints of work, and I'm doing teaching D&D for kids now with Bad Wolf Adventure Studios. And so I do their kids, like, after-school stuff. And I gotta tell you, it's a lot.
What
2 hours is good.
What age group are we talking about here?
I have third graders through middle schoolers.
Okay.
And I think I'm the only one in our company that does third graders.
Okay.
So in my third grade class, I've got like 3 third grade boys and a 4th grade girl. And the 3 boys, when they were, I was like, you need to come up with a backstory. And they're like, I chopped off your arm because I want to, or somebody chopped off my arm because I want a mace for an arm. And I chopped off your arm. And then he chopped off my arm. And then they're like, and then he chopped off your arm. Why did he chop? Because then we all chopped off each other's arms. And they're just like,
duh. Right.
Like a suicide pact, but like for third graders and chopping off arms.
Honestly, that sounds like something I would have done in third grade. So,
yep. Yeah. And so my sweet barbarian, and I say sweet in quotation marks, the barbarian third grader, you know exactly who this kid is.
Oh yeah.
And we get into,
it's called a third grader.
Right. We get, but he's also chose barbarian.
So it's
third
grader squared.
Third grade.
Yeah.
So he, we get to welcome to the Radiant Citadel. I chop off her head. All right, she's here to welcome you. I chop off her head.
Right.
You can certainly try. And being a third grader and not having played D&D, he doesn't know what that means when a DM says, right. You can certainly try.
Not picking up on the obvious warning.
They've got guards and shit.
So she swiftly kicks his ass, and he's got, like, one hit point left, and he's like, she holds out something to him, and I bite her hand. Okay. She puts a necklace on you, and...
What's your int?
And not.
But the player or the character?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the point where metagaming is very important, is that your character will never be more intelligent than you are. And that's a real problem in some cases.
So she gave him a necklace. And every time that he tries to be overly
aggressive,
it gives him damage, like lightning damage. So I came in 2 days later for my next group, which is fourth and fifth graders, mm-hmm. and I was talking to somebody, and they're like, oh yeah, I ran the D&D group last year. How's this kid? I was like, oh yeah. And then he's like, oh right, you put a shock collar on him last time. Nice work.
Yeah, as a former and current this kid, thank you.
So but it was like half, it had to happen, because about halfway through the first session, the horrible psychotic bloodlust went from his eyes, and he's like, he unclouded, and he's like, oh, I need to get this thing off. How do I actually play this game?
God damn it.
Well, you know, you could do something good for the community. Ended up working for the mafia.
Something for the community.
They threw the games.
Yeah.
Like the local night market games.
You didn't specify which community, and so honestly, that's on us.
Is you need to redeem yourself. I'll join the mob. No. Yeah. That's.
It was great.
You said you didn't want any of our filthy money.
That's fun.
I'm really lucky, because when I introduce my kids to D&D, they got it.
Oh, they weren't murder hobos? Or they were the right kind of murder hobo?
They just got it.
Oh, that's
like
good.
Like, right away, they were like, oh, we're role-playing.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yep.
This isn't me, this is another character, yeah. And mm-hmm. This is the way my character behaves.
Yeah,
that's
this is
so sweet.
And they were just like, cool.
Not living out all my murder fantasies.
Yeah.
And so, like... You know, my kids, they rolled up these characters and they came up with, like, interesting backstories and I was worried that, you know, they would have a fight and they would lose or something like that.
Yeah.
And they'd just have not, you know, they'd roll a one and things would go wrong and they'd be upset. And they were just like, no, this is fucking awesome.
Oh.
You know, they loved it. You know, things go wrong, things go right. You know, when things go weird, they absolutely love it. And they have definitely had moments where it was like, this is what my character would do.
Yeah.
In this situation. And it's just like, oh, I love my kids so much.
Well, there's two ways that it can kind of go sideways for kids mm-hmm. learning D&D. It can, mm-hmm. I had a kid recently who, it was recess. They wanted to do recess rules. So basically god modding. So
right.
I am a hot dog. Okay, we can skin it this way. No, but I fly. Flying hot dog. But also, I have a flame sword, and it's like, okay, we have to actually, like, skin it. And we had actually given him a bard skinned that way, because he basically did necrotic damage to people whenever mm-hmm. he just said hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, and it was, like, annoyance to the nth degree.
Sure.
And we're like, oh, vicious mockery, great.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, but it's not. It's this thing, and he just wouldn't.
Sure.
Listen to the rules that were put in place so that everybody could have fun. And then there's the kid who's like trying to re-roll below his table, and I'm like, oh honey, you just got a one. But I rolled a two. It's a one now. You know, and you gotta learn to play.
Presumed one if you try to cheat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And so I'm glad that you haven't had, like, those sorts of things with your kids. But
no, I was really, again, I was lucky. You know, we explained to them what gaming was, and mm-hmm. then we got mm-hmm. them books on mm-hmm. it. Not like the actual player books,
no,
but books.
No, they have little D&D books.
It's like, one of them is like a monster manual for kids, basically. Like, here's all the different monsters, and one of them is just, like, different character types.
They're so, so
B
well
is
done.
For
I know,
beholder.
Yeah. I know exactly the ones that you're talking about, and they're so
they're fantastic.
Well done.
My daughter got them for Christmas a couple years ago, and she read those, and then we explained the gaming and what it was, and and so when we finally did play, they already had a lot of understanding of what this was what we were doing.
That's awesome.
So, and you know, then we played our first few sessions, and they absolutely loved it. Aww. And they wanted their own dice, so we got them their dice, and I made them little dice trays that they could roll their dice into.
They were handsome dice trays, too.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of them. And then, like, my daughter was like, can I DM a campaign?
Yes!
And we were just like, yes, you can, absolutely. And so she did. She made a campaign for us and a friend of hers, and she ran that. And then my son was like, can I do it, too? And we're like, yes, absolutely, we can. And like, it was That's interesting, so the different directions. Like, my son made a Gargoyles campaign.
That's so cool.
It was, Disney's Gargoyles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Gargoyles. We were Gargoyles.
One of my...
And we just kind of figured out how to stats it into that.
Yeah, yeah.
With flying and, different things like that. And we played a Gargoyles campaign.
That's so cool.
It was amazing!
I have a student who said that their friend is running a Pokemon campaign, and they're in Mount Moon right now.
Fun's
and so,
rad.
Like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's a great... Yeah. Way to skin that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's awesome.
I think I would have had a much better time going to a class or something, like doing it as an after-school activity, because the people who tried to teach me to play D&D first were my teenage friends who were a lot more like your third grade barbarian if they were DMs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, oh, we solved your puzzle. No, it's not that, you can't just
beat my monster
it.
Like that.
Right, yeah, you can't just fix the thing. Yeah, no, it's not how that works.
I definitely drop some puzzles and riddles in front of the kids that stumped them, and I drop some that they got like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so proud of them when they did. And it was just like, you've solved it instantly.
The ego and pride that you have in that situation is being proud of them for doing well.
Yeah.
Instead of
it being, I didn't do well enough
instead
a puzzle.
Of it being adversarial
pride.
It was like something simple. Like, they were in a hallway, and the faster they went, the longer it got. And they went, well, what if we go slower?
Aww.
Yeah. And it was like, well, the hallway gets shorter. And they're like, we stop. We're just going to stand here.
Yep.
And it was just like, cool. The door's in front
appears.
Of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they figured that out, pretty
quick. That's
what a
great puzzle, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was really proud of them, thinking, because at 9 and 7, you're just like, oh, it's getting further away. We'll run faster, obviously.
Yeah.
And they were just like, okay, but what if we did this?
Yeah. Nice.
It's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've been having a lot of fun. I do what I call a storybook DM sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I have this watercolor book that I've been working on, and I have drawn the maps in there, and I've drawn the night market with all of the different stalls and everything, and painted them and everything. And I still, like, both of my regular campaigns have burned down the game's tent for some reason or another. And so I need to get, like, a post-it note to put on it and then draw it decimated.
Close for repairs. Sure.
And so, but I have it that I can, like, open it up. And so one of my puzzles that I do, you can't hear this if I ever run one for you, is, hold on.
Gazpacho. Godzilla.
Excuse me. Thank you for your non-denominational choice. But yeah, so one of the ones that I did is I replaced a dungeon crawl with a maze that I drew out, and whoever's in it, their character is blinded temporarily, and somebody from the outside has to give them directions.
Sure, yeah.
And so I have them put their finger directly on the map, and then whenever they touch the spindly vines that are making the maze, they get teleported back to the beginning. And nice. So I have these kids like passing the book around and like physically trying to do it. And, you know, there are a few chests in there. And of course, they're like, oh, they're mimics and blah, blah, blah. And nice. I was like, yep. All of them? And they go, oh. And so they're like making decisions together about which ones to go for and everything. And the group that worked for the mob had thrown the games.
Yeah.
So they didn't win, but then the mobster was like, okay, I need you to get this blood diamond bone necklace. Yeah, that's a thing. And so they snuck in at night, quietly, and they managed to do it quietly, and then they just started, like, burning down the... They had it! And then they started burning down the maze when they came across a mimic, which of course they did. And, but they... The whole maze was aflame.
Mm-hmm.
But they snuck in, and they were like, well, hold on. Are you blinded right now? Are people in the maze blinded right now? Because they remembered the rules. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, detect magic. And so they were playing within that rule and breaking
sure,
it.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun to make things like that and to kind of create panels and things like that.
Yeah, almost like a pop-up book secret thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I love it when they defy expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I had them do a heist where they had to break into a museum and steal a book. And I had this whole thing set up, you know, with all these different things. And I figured what they were going to do was they were going to go in and they were going to scout out the place during the day and then sneak in at night.
Yeah.
And they went in during the day and they found the book and then they did a fucking smash and grab. Just right fucking there. And then they rolled brilliantly.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they were nailing high rolls and crits, and they were just like one of them just completely fucking one of the guards came and was like, what's going on? And he was like, it's this thing. And it was just like, fuck, natural 20. It was just like, okay,
carry on.
The guard completely believes you and the guard is now causing more chaos over here, so it's now there's a distraction on top of everything. And then they just, like, they got it. They got the book, basically, because it was on the second floor of this, like, inner courtyard, and they basically fucking hucked the book onto the roof, and their familiar came and got it and flew it into an alley. And then they just fucking walked out. Because they rolled all of their bluffs flawlessly, and just
they
like
met in front of the Bellagio fountain.
Yeah, exactly. They were just like, there a bunch of guards come, and the guards are like, what's going on? And they're like, somebody over there was doing something. It was just like, 19. Fuck, the guards believe you. I'll play out. And they just fucking casually walked out, and the whole thing was done in like 20 minutes. It was just like,
well, all right then.
Well,
yeah. I did an MEA full day thing, and my kids were going through. You know, it was a spooky D&D thing, and so they're going through because whenever you hear the name, it just turns out to be static, as if that isn't a clue. And so they're taking watches as they're trying to get their long rests in, and you know, they're doing so well. I tempt them with, you know, there's a figure in the mist, and it looks very imposing and whatever. Oh. And then they stay in the shelter, and I'm like, it walks towards you. They stay in the shelter and offer it a coin, and I'm like, good job, good job. And then they found another place that had like a woman's body in it, and they were like, we stay out of there respectfully. And I'm like, good all job. Right. And then hot dog boy.
Leroy Jenkins!
Yeah. So hot dog boy, he's the one that's like the recess rules kind of kid. And he's like, okay, while this other person's on shift, I'm going to run ahead. I'm like, hey, honey, ahead could be wild beasts or things. Yeah. And then nobody's going to know where you're at. And he's like, I run ahead, that's
you
fine.
You are a half foot of tube
meat. And I look at him and I say, okay, when you wake up, there are, you know, there's bun and meat scattered in the forest. And he's like, no, roll for luck. rolls a one. So I just look at him and I say, bits of bun and meat are scattered in the woods. Yeah. And I just...
some of it's up a tree now.
So, it was just... I love when the
some
dice
are
nice. Some
of those wounds are self-inflicted for some reason.
This is cannibalistic. Yeah. No, it was just... Sometimes the dice are really nice to the DMs.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're nice to the characters. Sometimes they're nice to the DMs.
Yeah, no, dude.
And that's why the game is so much fun.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I think I might be contractually obligated, but I work at Hidden Minnesota, which is an escape room, and every once a month, Bad Wolf does a How to D&D class that's free, and then 2 weeks later, once a month, on the fourth Monday of something.
When the moon is full.
And the sky is bright. They have a drop-in $30 session. Where you just drop in and it's a one shot.
Play a thing.
And so if you want to learn how to do D&D, that's a really great place to do it. Also, come to the escape rooms. But
yeah, we will drop links in the show notes.
Well,
absolutely.
I hear so many people who are like, oh my gosh, I want to learn to play D&D, but I've never been able to, or, you know, I play once and then people fall
it's
through.
It's just my high school asshole friends. Yeah.
Because that's how I first played. I was in middle school time, and one of my best friend's brothers were running it, and I, the chaotic evil character, wound up at being the only one who was answering the call to do anything good or anything at all.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, you could just do this. I'll just do it. And so, like, I was kind of the only one playing, which was really frustrating. But, like, so that's an option. For if anybody's definitely interested, but
yeah.
And if you want to do D&D with kids, just let me know.
Because as you may have noticed with me talking,
kids, you DM your kids, right?
Yeah, I do, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, in case you hadn't noticed, kids will get into this sort
of
thing.
Oh my god,
don't think your kid isn't ready for it or
my
anything like that.
Third graders walk in with monster manuals. Like, not the little monster manuals, the giant monster manuals. And I'm like, oh, you see spider webs or somebody needs silk. And they're like, oh, I bet it's going to be this thing that I don't even remember the name of. But they remember the name of it because they were reading a monster manual as a third grader. Yep. And they start reading it and they, like, I was like, you know, you could use the index. And they're like, oh, yeah, the index. So it's like, I could go on. There's actually a therapy certification for therapists to do therapy within D&D. Let me put my educator hat on. D&D is amazing for social skills, parallel play, fidget training. Mm-hmm. If a kid is needing to learn how to use a fidget in school, learning to use it during D&D when they're actually engaged in something and when they're not engaged, because oftentimes when we're in battle, I get disengaged because I'm just like, I'm not doing anything for the next 10 minutes because everybody else is taking their turn. And so learning how to tune in when you need to, as well as what fidgets work for you to be able to keep tuned in, is amazing, especially for neurodivergent people.
Oh, yeah.
Kids, adults, everything. It's good for learning leadership, responsibility. It's good for natural consequences. It's good for learning how to do social stuff and
how to... That'd be a great t-shirt. Natural consequences, and it's just like bits of hot dog spread around the rest of the shirt.
Creative problem solving.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, like, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell my teacher spiel. Like, actually, do we have time for one more story?
Yeah, go ahead.
So,
make it quick.
When I was a first-year teacher, I did an easy simulations with my students for, like, the Spanish Court Conquistador Explorers or whatever. It's by Scholastic. It's great. And my first tattoo is actually based on that.
Nice.
It was at Da Vinci Academy of Arts and Science, and I had this great time. And then my first D&D game with Bad Wolf... as a, like, this is my next step into teaching in a different way, was at Da Vinci Academy of Arts and Science. Nice. And I got
comes
to see,
full circle.
I got to see Baby Jax on the wall because they had all of the, like, all of the past teachers and students for every year.
Sure.
And so it's just this beautiful full circle moment.
Cool.
Nice.
Go ahead and quick give the URL or whatever contact information for your
Yeah, things. So for my small business, I do teaching and I do artwork. It's chaosandquirk.art.
Okay.
So you can email Jax at chaosandquirk.art or look me up on Instagram. And then for Bad Wolf Adventure Studios, look it up on Facebook or Google or whatnot. Bad Wolf Adventure Studios for your D&D needs.
We'll throw some links in the notes.
Yep, and, yeah. And the escape room?
The escape room is Hidden Minnesota, and that they have axe throwing, star throwing, escape rooms, and community space, and craft markets.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, again, we will put all of that in the show notes.
Woo!
Thanks.
And we're going to take a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Sniffly.
It's true.
Yeah,
I'm Sniffly Jax.
Allergies are creeping up.
The clock is running. And,
yeah,
there's
a timer above your head that
it's actually slowly. It's an hourglass, but it's full of snot.
Yeah.
No, not snot. There's Benadryl at the end, though.
Yep.
There's Benadryl at the end of the rainbow.
I have my ripcord in my pocket.
Taste
don't
the
worry.
We should probably
sneeze
get to a fast
rainbow.
Five.
Fast five. I got that part.
Yep.
Yeah. Today's fast five comes to us from. Stack! Wow!
Stick?
Stack.
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 Hi, Stack.
Oh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
opening thoughts.
Opening thoughts?
There are no opening thoughts.
Dun, dun, dun.
Only closing thoughts.
I don't know. Well, hopefully. We don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
But there are no opening thoughts.
This was in response to an urgent call.
Yes. No, we had none when we started recording. So.
And now we have some. So
but,
that's good.
We have one.
Question number.
Ah, there it is.
Which one do I press?
That one.
The light bulb.
Press it quick.
Where's the light bulb?
No, that's the cash register. God damn it, that
question
happened last
Question number
week.
One.
Yeah!
Yay!
Klingon.
Okay.
Or dwarf.
Ooh.
Dwarf. I like to tell people that I'm half dwarf and half orc.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. If I were in a battle, I think I'd want a Klingon.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think.
Which one has better songs?
Oh, better songs, I'd say the dwarves.
They've just got songs about gold.
In the VLDL campaign, there's one guy who's half giant, half dwarf.
Right.
So he's just
regular
size.
that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Because orcs are also usually quite...
Yeah.
But
yep.
Yeah. Just like that medium size.
No,
yeah.
it was the same joke, but he's half giant and half dwarf. But, and so it just like
I mean, they both know how to party.
Like
they both know how to drink. They both know how to use weapons. So it's
they're kind of
similar.
Regular height space dwarves.
Yeah,
they've got fabulous beards.
They do. They've got scars.
I don't
and shit.
Know. They well, come kind
like
of scraggly
and
like that.
They don't do it
the
well.
The older
they don't
ones
take
yeah,
care
like
of themselves Worf. Quite as well.
Worf, yes, but I mean, I'm talking about like
Worf
Christopher
is...
Lloyd.
Oh, yeah. No, his beard was.
His mustache was real bad.
it was thin.
Yes.
But there have been Klingons with fabulous beards.
I feel like dwarves probably take better care of their space and of themselves.
Yeah, I'm going with dwarf as well. I feel like Klingons have the very warlike, you know, society and everything. Mm-hmm.
They're also glad to die in battle, yeah. And I'd rather have somebody who wants to live
There's
in battle.
There's a bit of aggression actually. There, whereas dwarves make beer.
But they have blood wine.
Blood wine, yeah.
Yeah, blood wine, ale, you know. I feel like
dwarven food is more in line with my tastes rather than fresh
dwarves,
guck.
Dwarves are also, canonically, more gender equal.
Oh, yeah.
They all have
that's
beards.
Fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with dwarves.
All right, question number two.
Nice.
Klingon. Or orc.
Is this hard for you, James?
It is.
I might go. James is usually hard when we talk about Klingons.
That's true. And orcs. That's yeah, like you do.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, you so, dress up like a Klingon. Yeah, trust
that's.
Me.
I mean, like
it works for me.
I'm gonna have to get right. into Christmas then.
Yeah, the Klingon.
It's an honorable life
it's
or whatever.
An honorable life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just throw a Lushpet Lakshondudach or whatever it was. Yes. I can't remember anymore.
So I'm trying to think. Like,
I don't know.
I'm going to go with Klingon on this one.
Because orcs in Lord of the Rings have like vengeance and lots of codes that they follow,
mm-hmm.
But Klingons have a code of honor.
Yeah. Lawful evil versus lawful neutral, I think, for Klingon.
Hmm. I feel like, honestly, in the Venn diagram of these two, there is a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And same with dwarves. That's the interesting thing.
I mean more so, I think.
Yeah.
A different part overlaps.
Yeah.
This is a very exciting Venn diagram we're building here. I think I might go... I like Klingon weapons better than orc weapons.
Ooh.
I think I'd like Klingon blood wine better than orc whatever the hell they're stewing
blood
in the toilets.
And wine.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to go with orc.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I gonna say something that's probably controversial, but I think Klingon weapons are dumb.
They are.
I know. Well, you just said they were better, so
They're better known. They're more specific.
I was gonna say their metallurgy is better. Canonically,
probably
than orcish weapons.
I've never
orcish
been
weapons are found weapons.
Sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes they are like in the Lord of the Rings. They're just like pouring iron
into
cast iron blades, basically,
mm-hmm.
which is still like it's better than Bronze Age.
Sure,
but it still feels very found.
It's not as good
weapon.
As steel.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not forged. I'm gonna go with orc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Question number three.
Got it. Nailed it.
Klingon.
Oh, God.
Excuse me.
Or dwarf.
Klingon or dwarf. Weapons? Dwarf.
I think we said dwarf food last time.
I went with dwarfs for
food.
I thought we went facial hair last time.
Taking care of themselves was last time.
Yeah. That's the thing is, it's not a we, it's you. It's whatever you want to make.
I think that Deep Rock Galactic, what we like to call Dwarf Rock Simulator, is better than a lot of the Star Trek games. Sadly, Star Trek really hasn't any like good games.
No, but I have enjoyed a show with Klingons more recently than a show with dwarves. Because I really like Lower Decks.
Yes.
And I really like
Strange New Worlds.
Yeah. And so I've been really enjoying that. So I'm going to say Klingon for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't really have any dwarves in the new D&D movie. Mm-mm. No, they had halflings, but not dwarves.
Not really.
Yeah.
But even still...
They had, like, dead dwarves.
Even
they had
still,
dwarf skeletons everywhere.
Before when... Like, Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks is more recent than that, than D&D. Maybe.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
More recently, enough. I've enjoyed Klingon stuff.
I like the stereotypical dwarven accent
more than the...
So I'm going to go
dwarf. It's just like an American doing a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like it's a Sean Connery, but it's like a faux Sean Connery.
Yeah, except Sean Connery is actually Scottish, so...
And with a beard.
I thought he was like Scottish and Welsh or something. That I thought that something about his Scottishness was in question. Maybe I'm misremembering.
I know he speaks Russian with a Scottish accent, which is hilarious. My Russian professor howls with laughter whenever he thinks about it. He's just like, you speak Scottish Russian with a Scottish accent. It's
my favorite story about that movie is that for the first like several takes of every scene that he was in, he wore a bad hairpiece that gave him a little ponytail until he overheard one of the crew members saying, like, it looks like he's got a little dick sticking out of the back of his head. And then he got rid of it and they had to reshoot all of his scenes. He finally listened and was like, all right, I'll shoot without it.
Yeah, it makes more sense for a Russian sub-commander.
I think I like Klingon music better than Dwarvish music.
Oh, really?
Maybe. Klingon, what was it? Klingon rock. Oh my gosh, the
Klingon
musical.
Klingon opera. Yeah. The musical episode?
The musical episode! Where they do hip-hop!
Okay. Ah, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Highly suggest.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number four. Klingon.
Oh, Jesus.
Or Hobbit? Klingon.
Hobbit.
I want to go to a Hobbit party.
Oh. Klingon.
Parties?
Klingon parties? Jesus. You like to party in a way that I don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear they have tilt table tests there, too.
Ooh la la.
Fuck yeah. If they're going to strap me down to a table and invert me until I pass out, bring it on.
It's not even invert.
But is that with a beer bong full of blood wine?
Fucking bring it on.
No, but what they'll do in a tilt table test, they put you right side up and then they just leave you. Okay, they don't give you booze. They don't give you food.
Okay, I'll look. If they're going to give me blood wine and strap me to a table until I pass out, I'm in.
Those are just Klingon keg stands.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I'm fucking in.
They're right side up keg stands, though.
This has got to be a convergence party room with Klingon keg stands now. It's a funnel of blood wine and a tilt table.
I wish you luck finding table. One.
I would party with a Klingon.
Klingon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're Kaddish, bitch.
Yeah. But I don't think I would go to a Klingon party.
Oh, I would.
I mean, I guess. I guess I would.
Nice knowing
I would just
you.
Be fucking.
If I'm gonna die, I'm gonna fucking die and having
fair.
A good time.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does
man
sound like
swallows
a good time.
Swords.
Yeah.
You would get points for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
fair.
Tough but fair.
Have you tried swallowing a batleth?
No.
God damn.
Because batleths are dumb.
No, they know. But for the purposes of this joke. Yeah.
No, it's not even a joke. They're dumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to have one hanging on the wall.
Fine.
They look great.
Do they?
I think so.
If you're not trained and had to, like, do choreography with them, then they look cool.
I disagree. I think a good halberd looks way better than a batleth.
I like a hammer.
Yeah.
A good warhammer is pretty
See,
cool.
See, this is why I chose dwarf. No, but we're on,
I don't
but we're
disagree.
On Hobbit.
I don't disagree at all.
I think
a billhook.
Just based on how much hobbits love food
it's
and
their
beer,
food that I want.
I think hobbit parties would be more my speed.
No, but you see, a hobbit party, yes, there's a lot of food, but it's like rustic food.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Charcuterie boards.
Meats
we talked
and
about
cheeses.
This.
No,
dried I meats and
but,
cheeses.
But I can only eat so much.
Meats
and
cheeses?
I can eat a charcuterie board whenever I want to.
But like a Hobbit one, because they bring out the nice stuff.
Sure, I get that. I'm just saying, I can have a charcuterie
so
board whenever
kind of
I want.
So what food are you looking forward to in the Klingon ship?
I don't know, and that's the best part.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. Well, and I love eating weird food that often that grosses people out, so I guess I'd be the first in line for Gah.
No, like, the thing is a Hobbit party is... It's country dancing, mm-hmm. it's a lot of food, mm-hmm. it's a lot of wine,
yep.
it's smoking a pipe, mm-hmm. but it's still just a country party.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a Klingon party is like, you wake up 3 days later and your pants are missing and you go, I don't know what the fuck happened, but I think I'm married to three people. Also,
okay.
I'm missing a finger.
So the reason that
and
that's you...
what I want.
So the reason that you choose Klingon over Hobbit is that you basically live a Hobbit lifestyle now, whereas I would choose the Hobbit party because, based on your description, I'm living the Klingon party.
I crave the unknown.
Are you? Is that what you're doing on weekends,
like,
honey?
He said you wake up married to like three different people and
missing a finger.
Missing your pants and your finger is gone. Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing. I want to have a crazy fucking, like, if you told somebody what just happened, they would not believe you.
Yeah, a Bert Kreischer.
Yeah. That's what I want.
Machine!
Y'all have fun. I want my meats, cheeses, and as much yummy cake as I could possibly stand.
I'm a Sagittarius. I want the weird shit.
I'm also a Sagittarius.
We do the weird shit.
Yeah, I want the weird shit.
I
want to live my life trying things that I've never tried before.
Oh, I just had a thought.
What?
Uh-oh.
I know.
First time?
Right? Yeah.
First time. It's a dangerous pastime.
It's like a...
I know.
It's like a picture, but it hurts. Yeah. A thought?
It's like
I gotta choose Klingon, because otherwise I'd just be hitting my head on fucking everything.
Good point. Good point.
All right. Well, that seals it.
All right. Oh, by the way, this Fast Five came in... like
smoking and sideways.
Zach did not hear our previous conversation about
not at all.
No.
D&D. Like, this is just fucking fortuitous.
Yeah.
Question number five.
Five.
Klingon.
Five.
Or elves.
Oh. Klingon.
Klingon.
Way better.
Oh, can the elves heal my diabetes? And my POTS? And my asthma?
Ooh.
I don't... know if elves have that technology?
I mean, for them, it's magic.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, like, if the elves can get me healed, I'm going elves.
This is really going to depend on the type of elves.
Yeah. If it's Lord of the Rings, Rivendell elves, like, I'm guessing that they have
soft
somebody who can do something.
Water.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I would go Klingon.
Huh?
I would go Klingon if it's that.
Would or wouldn't?
If it's Rivendell elves, I'm going Klingon.
Yeah.
If it's like Hylian elves.
Yeah.
I just want somebody who can... If it's elves that can cure me, I'm going elves.
Yeah.
Nobody can blame me for that shit.
I'm going with elves because their cookies are delicious.
I'd be hitting my head on everything.
Yes.
Not
so,
with the,
and
which,
their cookies
oh, the
would
Keeblers.
Be...
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. What elves are you thinking?
So,
Also, they're really good at making toys.
This is true.
So they would make.
I'm gonna say Klingons on this one because Lord of the Rings elves seem stuck up as shit.
That's exactly why I was saying it really depends on the elves.
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
Like if we're going Drow, they're fucking cool. Also terrifying. But still cool.
They're kind of the Klingons of the D&D world.
Yeah. Are we going high elves? Are we going wood elves? Are we going dark elves? Are we doing...
Yeah.
What are we doing with elves?
I'm not changing my answer.
Klingons. Let's find out what it means.
Woo! Oh, he's still not... Salsa's still not sure.
Oh, jeez.
I can see the smoke.
Yeah.
From all the gears turning.
I can see the wheel spinning, but I think the hamster's dead.
Then what's spinning the wheel?
Dun, dun, dun!
the call was coming from inside the hamster.
I'm going, I think the elves' baked goods are better.
All right.
Do I do the dingy ding on this part?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Nobody
question
can say
question number one.
Too bad. All
right.
Clownful neutral.
Question number one, Klingon or dwarf? Who's your new drinking buddy?
Dwarf. I feel like the dwarves would make sure that you don't die. They'll like laugh their asses off and like throw you onto their donkey when they're leaving camp, but they wouldn't leave your ass behind.
Yeah.
I might say Klingon. For one reason, and that is, I thought I was the dwarf was a sure thing, but I think Klingons have very high tech hangover cures. And it's probably more of what you drank.
Probably don't take it because then that would be the weak way out.
Yeah, that's true.
So they probably don't have it.
Dwarves, all right,
dwarves. Question number two: Klingon or orc? Who is your new? Okay, so this says sparing. Buddy, I'm guessing they mean sparring. But it's written as sparing.
All right.
So, who is your new? Let's do both. Who's your new sparring buddy, and who's your new sparring buddy?
Okay. And the choice is
Klingon or orc
or orcs.
I mean, we talked about the impracticality of Klingon weaponry. So, if you're going to actually have a good sparring buddy, it would have to be an orc because they use actual weapons.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, Klingons are strong, but orcs are gigantic.
Orcs are fucking orcs.
Yeah.
Also, if you tell a Klingon that you want mercy, then they're going to let you live because they think that's a worse fate than dying.
Yeah.
So that might be my sparing buddy, because I feel like orc wouldn't spare me.
Well, and I also feel like either way, the smell is going to be roughly the same. It's leather and ass crack sweat, and so it's basically fest. I would say orc for sparring, coin toss for sparing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yep, yeah. Orc, sticking with orc. Question number three, Klingon or dwarf, who composes the better ballads?
Better ballads?
Dwarf.
Dwarf.
So I got this one right.
Dwarf. Oh, yeah,
Klingon. Right. Yeah, Klingon music.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen the Strange New Worlds musical?
No.
Okay.
I don't watch Star Trek.
Have you watched the Terry Pratchett
Star Trek's kinda dumb.
The Watch TV series?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they've got a great
dwarves are
rock
great.
Band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
if you don't like Star Trek, you might actually like Lower Decks, because they just mercilessly make fun of it.
The thing is I don't dislike Star Trek. I'm just... Eh.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I'm pretty ambivalent.
Friendship.
All right, question number four, Klingon or Hobbit? Who would win an eating contest?
Hobbit.
Oh, yeah,
Hobbit. Question number five, Klingon or Elves? Who has the better hair? Elves. Klingon hair shit.
Yeah.
That
was fun.
No closing thoughts.
Just based on Worf's bob that he had for four seasons.
His hair is kind of greasy and his mustache is scraggly.
What I will say is that once he got the goatee and they allowed him to have the wig with the long hair, that's one of the reasons that I grow my hair out.
That's better, but it's still kind of greasy. It's crazy.
He's also within a culture that is not Klingon. He's participating in a culture that is not Klingon, so we can't use his hairstyle to base our Klingon hairstyle
off of.
We have to
go with Christopher Lloyd.
I was thinking like Duras.
No, Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, okay. Not even a Klingon, just regular ass Christopher Lloyd.
No closing thoughts on this. So,
thank you.
If you would like to send a Fast Five, go to a1podcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form. Does anybody have anything?
Shout outs?
Yeah.
Shout outs.
That's the word I was looking for.
Oh, I was going to say you should come to Hello Whiskey at O'Shaughnessy.
That's a plug. We're not doing plugs yet. Shout out.
Fuck.
Get with the program.
Shout out to kids for being such fucking
God damn it.
Dweebs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great stories.
Yep.
I'm going to give a shout out to the brand new married couple. These lovely kids. Their nicknames are Chicken Nugget and Dino Chicken Nugget because they're both teeny tiny.
And one's really old.
Got the lint on them and a little bit of
a lovely wedding. It was mercifully brief in all the right ways and exquisitely wonderful and elaborate in the best possible ways. As part of their ceremony, the kids put together a Unity cocktail, which then everyone got to receive downstairs. So the
kids did?
The married people.
Oh!
They're kids? God
damn it. All right. Anyway,
what kind of
congratulations.
Child bride bullshit are you participating in?
I am not participating in any of it.
You were there.
Not until April. We're getting married.
No,
we're doing another marriage.
That's not a child bride situation either.
That's not a child bride situation.
No, but a marriage. A marriage. You're going to have a...
Marriage.
Honey, are we getting married still?
We are.
He's marrying a kid, apparently.
Apparently. Oh, my God.
What the fuck? First, you actually hurt my feelings, and now this? Like, that is so awful.
This is what I have to do to offend you?
Have you met him?
Yes.
Then this is where I'm going to go.
Damn it.
Never show your weakness.
All right.
Never show your weakness.
So anyway, congratulations, you two.
All right. I'm going to give my shout out to James's child bride.
Honey.
What the fuck?
We need to talk about this.
I drove.
Giving my shout out to marital strife.
God damn it.
And by shout out, you mean instigation.
Instigation,
it's my favorite occupation. That is my theme song that James's sister has bestowed upon me. Yes. Oh no.
I'm gonna give my shout out to offending James.
So to yourself, it just comes back and smacks you on the forehead.
Look, some of these are just for me. I can't tell you how proud I am.
It takes a lot. It takes a very finessed dagger
to
get...
There was no finesse.
You have no idea how happy I am
right now. It takes a lot of daggers in an unfinessed way to finally
hit
something.
This was a fucking accidental Rube Goldberg machine travesty. There's no finesse. This is not a dagger. This is a fucking accidental upside down nail
on
a staircase.
Yep.
Yep.
I lay on top of those.
An accident. I wish you would.
When's your next show, Salsa?
There we go. That's what I'm going to give my shout out to. I'm going to give my shout out to the off season.
Hey.
I am finally done.
What's that?
And yeah, it feels very good to put Casimir in a closet for a few months.
Until June?
Until like March.
Oh, I thought we all came out of the closet during June.
No, Casimir comes out of the closet in March.
Well, I'll get the pride gear.
And if you leave out Easter eggs, then then he
baby
leaves,
Jesus poops out Easter chocolate.
Chocolate swords.
Something, something, are, pagan, something, something, pretend Christian.
Because...
Rabbits fucking out comes eggs.
That's how right. it works.
And you're starving for them for some reason. They're chocolate.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what they are.
Cream
They're
in them.
Eggs.
They're eggs right. with cream in.
Yeah.
You cream them.
You owe me steak and wine and chocolate, by the way.
I'm
speaking
aware.
Of.
I mean, yeah. I don't even know why, but yes, you do.
Yeah, there's a reason you don't know why.
I don't care why. Yes, you do.
Yeah, there's a reason you don't know why.
She gets all of they get all of those things.
Yep.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
At
I've
least
met you
once a month.
Just because you're you, they deserve it.
Well,
they're married to you,
but
they
also,
deserve it.
Yeah. I do that constantly.
Yeah, you have to.
He's good.
You
I'm
have
aware,
to.
Salsa, I don't know if you know this. I've met me too.
Yes.
Yeah, but I like him. I'll keep him.
Yep. And that's why.
Because of the meat and the...
No, that's why you get it all.
Yeah, because I love him.
Because you like him.
His parents agree too.
Mm-hmm.
They thank me, like, pretty regularly,
they
actually.
They actually do.
They do. They're like...
thank you for putting up with our child.
Yep.
It's pretty much
they're not wrong.
Every time
you are.
Since I met them.
And then they get strapped to a table until they pass out. Yeah.
This is, you get nothing and like it. You'll no high five. You're just in a mood
yes,
today.
Yes, I am.
What the
Plugs.
Fuck?
But.
But. Plug.
All right.
Anyway, no.
No, you had the chance.
I was trying to say hello, whiskey, and come and I do tarot things, and I have hair sticks and like little dice rollers and shit, and there's whiskey and stuff. Also, I sell things. Yay!
I have a sketch that will be in the.
I'm shocked you didn't say butts as well.
I said butt plug after you said.
Yeah, but like for your plug, you didn't say butt.
Correct.
Shocked. I don't. Yeah. Who are you?
What am I doing in Salsa's house? Yeah. Anyway. In November, there will be a sketch show. And I'll have more information as that gets closer. And then also I will be in the November Vilification Tennis Show, which is their Shakespeare show.
Oh boy.
So this will be exciting. Yeah.
I have null value and it feels amazing.
Yay!
Final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to Stack for sending in the Fast Five on behalf of myself and James and Jax and Jenna. May she rest in peace.
I really hope she's getting rest.
Eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.